ask you just to think with me for a while. When was the last time someone asked, "How are you doing?" and actually stop to hear how you're really doing? Today, it's more of a greeting. You know, someone says, "How are you doing?" and they walk by. "How are you doing?" they walk by. When was the last time someone really stopped to find out exactly how is it that you're really doing? Well, as you think about this morning, think about that this morning, I'd like to ask you another question. And it's, how are you doing with God? How are you doing with God? Maybe you've never been asked that question, or maybe you've never asked yourself that question. How am I doing with God? And if the truth be told, if we all take the time and stop and ask ourselves, how am I really doing with God? Then we will realize, or we will see, that there's always room for improvement. There's always something more that we need to do. Then we will come to the realization that, you know, maybe we need to be reading our Bibles some more, or maybe we need to spend more time in prayer. And so that's what I'd like us to focus on this morning, just to ask ourselves, how are we doing with God? How am I doing with God? If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. And we're only going to be reading the first two verses of Romans chapter 12. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Let us pray. Our Father, we give you thanks for this day. Thank you, Lord God, for leading us to your house where we can fellowship one with another, where we can sing songs of praise to your name, where we can hear your word preached. Father, we pray that everything we do and say will bring glory and honor to your name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Apostle Paul wrote the book of Romans, and he was writing to saints in Rome. He had never been there, but he wanted to go to visit them. And as he so often did in most of his letters, it's divided in two sections. The first 11 chapters, mainly speaking about doctrine. Talks about doctrines of the Christian faith. And then from chapter 12 through to the end, it's the practical section. So started out first 11 chapters talking about some basic tenets of the Christian faith, about justification, about sanctification, about glorification, speaking so much about God's salvation, which came to us through Jesus Christ. And now, at chapter 12, he's saying, "Now you have heard all this that I just said," and now he's going to tell them, "This is how you should live your life." And as we look at these verses, this morning, I'd like us to, as we concentrate on these verses, I'd like us to ask ourselves the question, you know, how are we doing with God? And as we look at these verses, what we will see is if we come to the point in our lives where we ask ourselves that question, how are we doing with God? And if we are to answer and say, yes, God is good, I'm doing well with God, I'm really enjoying what God is doing in my life, we will see from these verses this morning that our lives must be transformed by God. That the lives that we are living must be so affected by God on a daily basis that we're allowing God's Holy Spirit to change our lives. And as we do that, then we can truly enjoy the relationship that we have with God. But the problem so often is that as a people, we just don't like change. You know, we don't like change. Someone said that everyone tries to change humanity, but nobody tries to change himself. You see, we always try to change those around us to make them be like us. But we don't want to change. I have the opportunity of working in a college setting, and I see this on a daily basis. The beginning of the semester in the fall, students will come in and they have a roommate. And they'll come back a month later, and they'd want to change their roommate. And as you try to find out what's going on, as you take a time to listen, what you hear more often than not, more times, is the person who wants to change the roommate, what they're really doing is they want the roommate to be so much like them. And so it's not working out. So they say, hey, you know, I want to change my roommate. No problem. We oblige. They get to move out. They move into another room. And they'll come back a month later. It's not working out again. Because this other person, you know, they can't play their music because this person is complaining. They want to be up at night, but this person is complaining. And so, for the first year of college, they'd go through 4 roommates. And they never, ever think that the problem could be within them. It's always all the other roommates. You see, we try to change everyone around us. But if we are going to live truly transformed lives, God has to change each of us personally. So the Apostle Paul was writing here in chapter 12 of Romans, and he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It says, I beseech you. It is a call for action. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. A transition is taking place in this text. As I said before, he had already outlined for them what the doctrines are of the Christian faith. And he says, now you know these things, then this is the life that you are supposed to live. And he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. Friends, God is indeed a good God. And when we say that God is merciful, we mean that God does not give us what we truly deserve. Because you and I didn't deserve anything that we have. But it was because of God's mercy why we are here today. And Paul just wrote 11 chapters, a magnificent exposition of God's mercy, God's goodness, God's compassion. Oh, he sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins. And now Paul's writing to the saints at Rome and he's saying, I beseech you, I'm calling on you, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God. And what's he beseeching them to do? That they present their bodies as living sacrifices. If you and I are going to experience this real change, if you and I are going to be able to live for Jesus Christ as God intended us to do, then we must present our bodies as living sacrifices to God. What's Paul talking about, living sacrifices here? We know from our study of the Old Testament about the sacrificial system and how sacrifices were offered to God. But here Paul's not talking about the Old Testament sacrifices, because those sacrifices were dead. They had to kill the animals to make those sacrifices. Now he's saying we are to offer up our bodies as living sacrifices. And he's talking about our total life. Everything must be given over to God. Our life and our activities, everything that we do. You see, when Jesus Christ came and died for our sins, he provided a once-for-all sacrifice before God on our behalf. And so we no longer need a priest to speak to God or to offer sacrifices to God on our behalf. Because the Bible tells us that we have become priests because of what Jesus Christ, our high priest, has done for us. He paved the way so that we who have accepted Christ as Savior can now be called believer priests. And as a result, we can go to God directly, no more needing the priest of the Old Testament to be our mediator. We have Jesus Christ as our high priest, and we can approach him boldly. So Paul says, present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God. Qualifies the sacrifice that we should present to God. Sacrifice, a living sacrifice, which means as you and I continue to live our lives, we should continually present our bodies to God until the day we die, that we can't do it anymore. A living sacrifice. Says the sacrifice must also be holy. That's to be set apart from the world. To be set apart for God. God says, be ye holy as I am holy. And if we are going to truly answer the question, how am I doing with God? If I want God to change my life, then I must be set apart for God. I must offer my total self to God as a living sacrifice. And when I do that, I will realize that this is indeed acceptable to God, Paul says in verse 1. You present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. This sacrifice is pleasing to God. So how are you doing with God? Are you offering yourselves as living sacrifices? Are you allowing God to change you on a daily basis? In verse 2, Paul goes on to talk about some of the implications of offering ourselves as living sacrifices to God. See, if we're going to offer ourselves to God, it involves a complete change of lifestyle. In verse 2, Paul says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Talks about the negative aspect and the positive aspect. And if we are going to truly live for Jesus Christ in this world, we must understand what God demands of us. The first command says, do not be conformed to this world. What's Paul talking about when he says, don't be conformed to this world? When we speak of the world, we're speaking of the system out there that is contrary to everything that the Bible teaches. We know what the world tells us. The world tells us that there's more than one way to God. Yep. The world tells us that there's no absolute truth. The world tells us that we can live as we like, we can do whatever we want. But that's not what the Bible teaches. So Paul says, don't be conformed to the patterns of this world. And to be conformed means to be squeezed into a mold. Now, can Christians be conformed to the patterns of the world? Oh, yes, we can. If we allow the system and the values of the world to become our values, then they will also become our priorities. And we will have the mentality of the world. So Paul says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. Instead, he said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. And the word used here to transform is the word from where we get our English word metamorphosis, a change from the inside out. A complete change is demanded of us. But as I said before, a lot of us don't like change. Now, a lot of things can change you. But if it's not a change that's affecting you from the inside, from the heart, if it's not a renewal of the heart, then it's not real change. Sometimes if you listen to the news or if you read the paper and you see someone who's been to prison, you know, they'd come out and they'd say, you know, I'm a reformed man. And maybe a couple months later, the same person is in the news again, committing the same crime. You see, because just the very mention of the word reformed, I'm a reformed man, that doesn't really affect the inside. You see, that's what you do. That just affects the outside. That's what you do in the mornings when you look in the mirror. You touch up the spots and you do this and you want to look good on the outside. That's not real change. Because it doesn't affect the heart. The change that Paul is talking about here is a change from the inside. And a lot of things can change us. Sometimes people can change us. You know, you meet someone and you start behaving like that person, and the friends that you once had here, they're no longer your friends, because this person on this side now become your friend, and their friends become your friends. Sometimes possessions can change us. The new house, the new car, change the way we behave. Money can sometimes change us. The story is told of a guy who called a church one day and he said, the secretary answered the phone and she said, "Hello," and he said, "Yes, may I speak with the head hog at the trough, please?" And she said, "Excuse me?" And he said, "Yeah, may I speak with the head hog at the trough?" She said, "Sir, if you are referring to our pastor, that's very disrespectful. If you were referring to our pastor, you should ask for Pastor so-and-so." And he said, "Well, okay, never mind, because I had a donation of $10,000 that I was going to give to the church." But before he could finish, he said, "Hold on 1 minute. I think I just see the big pig coming down the hall." It's the thought of money. And it's sad that that sometimes changes us as people. But if it's not real change that's going to affect the heart, that's not what God demands. True transformation starts on the inside. And when you're changed from the inside, then it will affect those around you. Just to go back to the earlier illustration about the college students. If they realize up front that if I realize that playing my music loud at night or being up late is going to be a problem, I don't need to try to change my roommate to be like me. Maybe if I change my attitude, then my roommate will change. See, maybe if I allow God to change me, then it will change those around us. And it happens all the time. I can guarantee you that you don't need to go out and try to change the person around you. But if you allow God to change you from on the inside, and in the way you deal with those around you, you will see change in their lives. We will see changes in our families, parents and children, siblings. If I allow God to change me on the inside, and then that comes out on the outside, then things will change. At first, they will wonder, "Well, what's gotten into you?" But you see, when God continues to change us, it will affect those around us. And this is not a one-time thing. This transformation is a process. It is a process that begins with our accepting Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior of our lives. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old has passed and all things have become new." And God wants to change us. So if you ask yourself, if you have never asked yourself, "How am I doing with God?" then you'll never see the need to change. See, if you think you are all right, you'll never see the need to change. But the minute you stop and you ask yourself, "How am I really doing with God?" then you will see the need to allow God's Holy Spirit to change you daily. But we We live in a world where day by day we're bombarded with all, you know, the systems and the system and the values of the world pulling us in one direction. In 1 John 2:15, we're told to love not the world, neither the things in the world. But instead, our allegiance must be to God. See, and you may say, oh, it's just so hard being in the world. Yes, but God doesn't expect us to be off the world. Everything that you and I need to live this life for Jesus Christ, it's here in God's Word. Someone described it this way, about being in the world and living for Christ. They say it's kind of like having your boat in the water. You see, you want your boat in the water, but you don't want the water in your boat. You want the boat, your boat in the water, but you don't want the water in your boat. And Paul understood this. That's why he was able to say in Galatians 2:20 that I'm crucified with Christ. Yet I no longer live, but the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith to the Son of God who lives in me. God's calling on us today to live transformed lives. And not just in one area of our lives, but He's calling on us to give everything over to Him. This change, Paul says, should be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That's where the center of our thoughts and our actions, that's where it starts. And if God can change us from here, then that change will be evident in our lives. And when we do that, then we may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The will of God is found in the Word of God. And as we study it, we will realize and we will come to the knowledge and understanding that if we are truly going to live for God, then what we need is to know the will of God for our lives. It's not my will, what I want. It's what God wants for my life. And if I can find that out, and I'll find that out as I spend time studying God's Word, as I spend time in prayer with God. Because as a believer priest, I can approach God boldly. I won't get a busy signal. I won't hear a call back tomorrow. Because God wants to hear from me. He wants to hear from you. I don't know your situation this morning. Maybe you're here and you've never asked Christ into your life. And so, you can't truly answer the question, or if you ask the question, how am I doing with God? You may not have an answer. If that's your situation today, I want you to know that God paved the way for you when He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross. And He wants to accept you this morning. He wants to give you a newness of life. He wants to give you eternal life. That's going to start right here, right now. Or maybe you're here this morning and you have accepted Christ as your Savior. But you've never asked yourself the question, how am I doing with God? Maybe you think you're all right. Maybe, just maybe, you have allowed yourself to be squeezed into the mold of the world. So now you don't even know the difference between value, the value system of the world, and what God demands of you. If that's your situation, I ask you right now to just stop where you are and truly ask yourself, how am I really doing with God? And it is when you ask yourselves that question that you can truly be honest and say, my Bible reading is not as it's supposed to be. My prayer life is not as it's supposed to be. And so when I'm in situations, that's why I don't really know to react when I find myself in these situations. Because I'm not in tune with God as I ought to be. If that's your situation, you can speak to the Lord right now. You can give that over to Him. Because He wants us to do that. And we need, from time to time, to ask ourselves the question, how am I really doing with God? See, God is there. He wants to hear from us. And if we're going to live truly transformed lives, truly victorious lives, we need to have God's Holy Spirit changing us day by day by day. It is my prayer that as we leave this place this morning, that our hearts will be challenged, that we may want to go out and have God make a difference in our lives. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks for your word. We thank you, God, for making a way for us. We thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die for our sins. And thank you for your Holy Spirit who lives within all of us who have accepted Christ as Savior. We pray, God, that your Holy Spirit will challenge us even now and will convict us. And that we will be able to answer the question, how am I doing with God? To answer with joy in our eyes and in our lives that God is truly doing a work in us. Lord, if there is any here who know not Christ as Savior, we pray today that they would give their lives over to you. Thank you again for who you are and for your word. And as we go, we pray, dear Lord God, that you will go before us and continue to guide us in our daily lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.